You know, as we look at these records in the Bible in regard to Jesus Christ being in his resurrected body, let's think about what that means for us, because at some point in the future, when Christ comes back, as the word says, we're going to have a new body like unto his. It's a spiritual body. And so they were able, obviously, to see him. They could touch him. He could eat. I think we read about that. Interesting to see that. And yet he could move very quickly to different places. He wasn't limited physically at all, because it was a spiritual body that he had. And yet it had physical overtones, I guess you could say. So what we have looked at already was the first day. And Judy shared a couple weeks ago, and we got into it, I think, last time a little bit, on what is called the 18th of Nisan, which was that first day in his resurrected body. And so I'm going to share from Jesus Christ, Our Passover, a wonderful book that has these records in here. And I'm going to start on page 346. I know some of you and folks calling in may have a book, the book Jesus Christ, Our Passover, and if you want to obviously follow along. So I'm gonna kind of go back a little bit here, but this is still the first day, and this is going to be somewhat of a summary here that I'm going to start with. Jesus Christ gave them specific instructions about what to do when the gift of Holy Spirit became available. They were to begin breathing in when the time was right. And he is referring to the previous scripture. And that scripture is John 20, 21 and 24. And let me read that to you. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he said this, he breathed on them, or the text, he breathed in, and said unto them, "Receive lumbano," which lumbano is the Greek word to receive into manifestation, put into action, you, the Holy Spirit. So he was teaching them that when the gift of Holy Spirit was made available, they would be breathing in, and they would lumbano, they would manifest something from that Holy Spirit. Well, what happened on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was first made available? What were they doing? What was going on in the temple where they were? They weren't in an upper room, as many people think. They were really in the temple. They were in the house of God. So what was going on? There was a heavy breathing, right, going on. And what did they do? What did they do in lumbano? They spoke in tongues. That was the manifestation. They spoke in tongues. That's the one thing God introduced, the new birth, via the manifestation of speaking in tongues. So he's teaching them, and obviously one of the purposes of him in his resurrected body was to prepare them for the new birth that would come, as we know, on the day of Pentecost, and it would start the Christian church. So he's teaching them, because they don't know. I mean, he's been trying to teach them for quite a while, and they were a little... They were an easy group to teach, I guess. But he was faithful to teach them, and that's why he was breathing in and encouraging them when that Holy Spirit comes upon them, that they would freak it out. Pretty neat. Let me get back to the narrative here. Later we see in Acts 2, 1 through 4, that on Pentecost they breathed in deeply and manifested the Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues. On that same day, Peter would carry out the instruction in John 20, 23 by offering to the people God's way of receiving remission of sins. Verse 24 of John 20 states that Thomas was not present. However, Mark 16, 14 and Luke 24, 33 told us that 11 of the apostles were at this meal and appearance. This means that neither of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus could have been Peter or any of the other 12 apostles, for they returned to find the 11. Sometimes some people think, well, maybe, of course, we know the name of one of the two guys, Cleopas.
Cephas.
No, it's Cleopas. Cleopas? Yeah, okay. Cleopas. But we don't know the name of the other one, and some people think maybe it was Peter or whatever, but it couldn't have been. Many have claimed that Judas had either killed himself or been expelled from the group by this time. That also is a false conclusion, since only Thomas was absent. Interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
Judas was here with the 11 on the 18th of Nisan, that first day, as recorded in Mark 16, 14. God's word plainly shows that after the resurrection, Jesus Christ accepted Judas back in the fellowship.
Wow.
Would you and I have forgiven Judas to that extent? Question mark. The other apostles also accepted Judas into the fellowship. However, it is very doubtful that they fully comprehended Judas' complicity and betrayal. They probably didn't really know behind the scenes what Judas did to set up Jesus being captured after Christ's ascension. So we know later on Judas went and hanged himself, right? And during this period here before Pentecost, these 40 days or so, or 50 days, they picked another disciple or apostle. John 20, 24 concludes the known events of the 18th of Nisan. On this day, Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene at the Garden of the Sepulchre. He then presented, this is kind of a summary here on that day, he then presented himself to the Lord as the first fruits from the dead. He appeared to Simon Peter. He appeared to two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And finally, he appeared to 11 apostles, Thomas being absent, along with some other disciples. Several times, angels had been seen who declared the glorious news of Jesus Christ's resurrection and gave instructions. The empty tomb convinced some and perplexed others. The guards were bribed by the religious leaders to start false rumors that the disciples had stolen Jesus' body. It was a day full of tremendous events. It is a day that has gone down in history as the day mankind first knew its Savior had conquered death. For the words, "He is risen," first spoken at the empty tomb, have reverberated universally ever since. What a victorious message this is. I'm going to move on here. Jesus Christ remained on the earth for 40 days in his resurrected body. His appearances to people on the first day that he showed himself alive were set forth in the previous chapter, which we just finished, okay? In this chapter, we will study God's word for knowledge concerning the other 39 days until Christ's ascension. Thomas had been absent when Jesus Christ appeared to the disciples on Sunday evening. Sometime after, Jesus left the supper on that evening, ending the 18th of Nisan. So he left during supper. The 11 disciples went to Galilee as Jesus Christ instructed. I don't know if you remember, he told them to go to Galilee. Matthew 28:16. When the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Evidently, Thomas had returned to his native Galilee. There, the 11 reunited with him and told him of Christ's appearance. John 20:25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he, Thomas, said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Mm-hmm. What is it? What's Thomas's nickname?
Doubting
Thomas. Yeah. This was the reason Thomas got a reputation as Doubting Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
But when compared to the earlier skepticism of the others, Thomas was no more doubtful than the rest of them had been before they saw and touched Jesus. When Thomas finally did see Jesus, he believed also. In John 20, verses 26 through 29, And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Now, how did he get in there if the doors were shut? Did he sneak in the window or what?
Look for the keyhole.
I don't know.
With a spiritual body, he can get anywhere he wants.
Yeah, got me there.
Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. The above passage is full of meaning. 8 days after his first appearance, Jesus came to his disciples once again, and there they again were behind closed doors. This appearance of Jesus was surely for the benefit of Thomas, who had not yet seen him. In reference to Thomas's argument of disbelief, Jesus invited Thomas to scrutinize him and to touch his wounded hands and side. Thomas exclaimed in great reverence, My Lord and my God. This exclamation was not a statement saying that he believed Jesus to be God. Rather, it was a declaration of awe and reverence, characteristic of the Eastern culture when speaking of one who represented God. There are many biblical examples where a person is called God because he represents God to the people. A man who had servants would be called Lord, meaning master. In the East, a woman would at times call her husband Lord or God because he represented God to her. We'll have to try that sometime. Sorry about that.
That's funny.
That is funny, isn't it? Thomas was by no means trying to document the triune God. He knew Jesus was the Son of God, not God himself. His explanation was a reverential expression characteristic of his Semitic culture. Interesting. Linguistically, the phrase, my Lord and my God, is a figure of speech in which two nouns are used to describe one thing. is the figure in Diades. In this figure, one of the nouns increases in intensity the other noun to the superlative degree.
Nice.
When you apply this to Thomas' declaration, the essence of it was, my godly Lord, Thomas most emphatically declared his submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Thomas believed because of what he had seen. After the ascension, it was no longer possible for anyone to see Jesus Christ and touch his side and hand. Since then, men have had to believe in Jesus Christ's resurrection without physically beholding him. That is the great accuracy of God's word in this section. Wow. John 20, verses 30 and 31. And many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Isn't that neat? I'm going to stop there for tonight.
So I've never heard that Thomas, I mean, students.